Hello and welcome to QU on the QU Media Podcast Network. Quincy University students are telling your story each week. I'm Evan White, joined by Madison Norris, Eric Stafford, Sierra Miller, and Chloe Knott, who's our producer today. Welcome to our Reporter Roundtable podcast for Spring 22. We'll talk about masks, racing, eating dinner for breakfast, and today we introduce Hawk Hacks, a new segment on our show that will make your life easier, better, bigger, yes, all of those things. But first, we have big news about masks on campus. Nothing is going to change for a while, but Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says he will lift the indoor mask mandate February 28th. What does that mean for students at QU? Not a lot yet. The governor said the mandate will stay in place for schools and places where large groups congregate. He even said cities can enact their own mask mandates if transmission rates are high. Before we jump into our stories for this week, let's do a quick check of how masking is going on campus. What does each of you think how masking is going on campus? Let's start with Madison first.
All right, so I'm pretty open about the masks on or masks off. It doesn't really bother me either way. We're 2 years into this pandemic, and I think we can all agree we're all sick of COVID as a whole. But if people want me to wear my mask, I'll wear my mask. If it doesn't bother anyone, you know, I've taken all the precautions I can to stay safe, so I don't mind taking my mask off either. I think it can go either way. I know that we're in a position sometimes where we can take it off, whether we're in classes or not, and it's not a big deal. But I think it's up to what other people want if I'm around them. It doesn't bother me either way, though.
Okay. Now, Madison, I know that you're on the volleyball team here. Do you all have to practice with your mask on, or how is that going?
So very, very, very lucky now. I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, when it first started, and even our first season back, which was last spring, so a year ago today, a year ago around this time, we had to wear masks to play, to work out, to compete. Like, we were always in a mask.
Oh, wow.
No matter what. So luckily now, if we are doing physical activity, if we're conditioning, weightlifting, or practicing, we're allowed to take our masks off. But as soon as we're done, we have to put them back on. So,
okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Our coach is pretty strict about outside of physical activity, but other than that, it's really nice, and I can't complain considering we had to do an entire season with masks on.
Of course. Okay, good. Let's go to Eric Stafford. How are you feeling about the mandate?
For me, I feel a little bit on both sides, you know what I mean? I feel like you should wear one, but I also don't feel like you should, you feel me? But just for the sake of the children and for the sake of the older people, I feel like you should just wear the mask just to keep their safety. You know, you don't know what you're carrying around and what you're spreading. But I done had, like, COVID, like, 2 or 3 times myself, so I feel like a warrior in a way. So I feel like I'm good without a mask. But, you know, just for the safety and consideration of others, I feel like we should continue to wear it.
You feel like a warrior. I like that. Okay, Sierra, how are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm fine either way, too. I wear mine, but I'm also ready to get back to normal. So,
okay. Just abiding by the law. I got you. Well, we'll see what QU does when the governor's mandate is lifted. Now, to stories for this week. Last week, we introduced you to the stories we were going to investigate as we started the semester. We'll start with the bookstore. There are still problems. Students are still reporting, and we are now in our third week, that they are missing books. We have learned that the bookstore was severely short-staffed due to illness at the beginning of the semester, and once the problem became known, QU sent staff from other departments to the bookstore to try to sort out the mess. QU's chief financial officer, Mark Schrieker, explains what the students should do.
There are emails from the QU bookstore that will notify them when their books are available if they're still waiting for something to be made available. Email is when they should get a notification that the books are available. We are still sending out daily updates to the faculty to inform them of so that they can talk to their students of what's still needed for each student. We're still trying to push out as much information as we can as we have more detailed information as to when the books will be available if there is anything on back order. So there's, I say, pay attention to your QU emails. And then, of course, if you haven't picked up your books, please come to the bookstore and pick them up. We do have lots of books available for students to pick up, and the more that come in and pick them up, it'll be easier for us to sort through what's left to do.
So Mr. Shrieker was he was able to break down what the bookstore has been going through. As he mentioned, they've been short-staffed, and this is actually a story that I covered. He was just recommending students to continue to check their emails and to stay on top of things because they have really been behind. But I can rest assured for all the students that they are doing their very best to assure everybody gets their books on time. So when we come back, two stories from the CAF and what to look forward to this spring. Welcome back. Madison Norris got to taste the magic of chicken and waffles during a fairly new tradition at QU. Madison, what is the appeal of the dinner-breakfast combination?
So, as you'll hear in a little bit, I mean, McGee is so passionate about his chicken and waffles. I'm from the Midwest, so
okay.
We've done stuff like chicken and waffles before. But chicken and waffles is a super big attraction for a lot of people in the South. The sweet and savory combine really well together, and you get the best of both worlds. So,
okay.
Action.
So I decided first year I was here at QU, we were going to have a chicken and waffles event. And from there, it's just taken off every year, and usually every semester, we do chicken and waffles. So it's a great way to create community. It's a great way to have a little fun with food. And who could not enjoy this savory and sweet combination that is chicken and waffles?
Now, Madison, I'm not really a big fan on chicken and waffles, but I want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, greatest, where would you rate the chicken and waffles combination?
Okay, so I would rate the chicken and waffles combination, like, if I'm going to an actual restaurant, I'd probably rate it quite a bit higher than the CAF's, just because I understand where the CAF is coming from and they have to make so much.
Of course.
So it's not as in-depth or as well done as a restaurant where they can take their time on each plate.
Mm-hmm.
So the combination at a restaurant would probably be around a 7 or 8 for me.
Okay.
But at the CAF, it's probably around a 5.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I still am very lucky and appreciative that I got to try the combination at school, and it was still good.
Okay.
But it's much better at a professional setting.
I understand. Okay, good stuff. Eric Stafford is the one who knows who is coming to QU next year. He attended signing day and tells us who had their dreams fulfilled recently.
Right now, the only signee that signed recently was Jeremiah Tallman from Quincy QND. A senior, about 6'5", I want to say wing, really good. He's ranked in Illinois in the top 100, so I feel like that's a good addition for QU. I feel like he just needs to add on a little bit of weight, and he'll be all right for the future. The next signing day, I believe, is in March, so we'll see who comes next.
Okay, I heard you mention something, QU and D. What does that mean?
QND, the high school, the private school here in town.
Oh, okay.
Quincy QND.
Okay.
Quincy Notre Dame, to be exact.
Got you. Okay, that's what I was looking for, the abbreviation. Okay, I got you. All right. And Sierra Miller, she's a racing fan and is excited for the snow to melt and for Quincy Raceways to reopen. Under new ownership, is that still the name of the track?
So that is not the name of the track anymore. Under new ownership, it's now Adams County Speedway. Jimmy Lawrence is now leasing the track with the intent to purchase it, and the track has a new name that might take some getting used to, but drivers and fans were just excited to have racing back when I spoke to them. Jake Powers, a track champion out there, has been racing in Iowa and is excited to return to Quincy to race a UMP Modified. Him and his family have been going out there since it opened, and I just finished a profile piece on him that dives into more details about his family history at the track and in racing, so I won't give away too many more details, but he will be racing at Adams County Speedway on Sundays, and then some other things that we can expect to see out there are weekly classes of crate late models, AMB modified, street stocks, four cylinders, and occasionally sprint cars.
Okay, great. That's a lot of stuff to think about. Let me ask you, Sierra, what got you into racing?
Yeah, so I grew up in a motorsport family. My family pulls tractors, but my dad's a mechanic. And I just didn't really grow up around stick and ball sports. I had some health issues. And so racing kind of got me through all of that. It was something to consume when I was going through all of that.
Okay, nice, nice, very touching. So as we end today's podcast, we are launching a new segment called Hawk Hacks. Each week, we'll give you a tip about how to do something on campus, how to find something on campus, or something that will make your day a little easier. Our first Hawk Hack comes to us from Madison Norris.
All right, so this one, some students on campus know about, some don't, but it's surely an issue on campus, is the laundry room. So the Hawk Hack that I have for you today is the Laundry View app. There is actually an app that most people don't know about just because they don't pay attention. So in most laundry rooms on campus, there should be flyers or signs hanging up in the room talking about the Laundry View app that you can download. Now, the Laundry View app lets you know when washers and dryers are free, so they are available for use, or when you need to switch your laundry from the washer to the dryer, it can send you alerts. So this app is trying to prevent students' frustrations of going down to the laundry room, making that full trek with all of your laundry and everything down there just to get down there and everything be full. And we all have been there. We have all gone through that and been frustrated and let it ruin our day. And I have been there too. So you can download the Laundry View app, and it can really, really help with all of your laundry room situations. You can also go to the laundry room, look at a flyer, and it'll help you and give you clear instructions on how to download the app and allow notifications to be sent to you from your phone.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Madison. Is this in every building on campus for dorms where this app is available?
Yes, it should be. So the Laundry View app is just an affiliation with Quincy.
Oh,
like,
okay,
we
okay.
have a just direct. So when you first download the app, you will have to say which laundry room you will be using. So I know in the SLC, you can say that, like, that is the laundry room. Or in SLC, there's one on every floor. There's laundry rooms in every floor, so you'll have to indicate that. Or you can just see whichever.
Okay, good. I know
whatever is open.
Great. I know they'll save a lot of people a hassle from, you know, interfering. So thank you for that, Hawk Hack, Maddie. Thank you for joining us on the QU podcast. For Madison Norris, Sierra Miller, Eric Stafford, Chloe Knott, I'm Evan White, and this is the QU Media Podcast Network.